Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you can tap the line and join us. You're welcome to do it. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Thoughts from Scott Frost is... He met with the Journal Star and World Herald on some topics. We'll dive into expectations, morning practices. I'm high-fiving for that, man. Colton immediately stares a hole through me going, morning practices. Coach Osborne's role in the program, scheme, all that fun stuff we'll get into as Coach Frost speaks. Brandon Vogel, tremendous writer with HailVarsity.com and magazine, will be with us in 15 minutes. 1 hour from now, Tom Dienhart going to be with us from BTN.com. So, Oregon State right now is doing Oregon State things to Nebraska baseball, 5-0. What are we, in the fifth? Yep, we're in the fifth, and I think there's been 10 hits by Oregon State. Madrigal went deep. I think Nebraska's played bad. They just haven't gotten runs home. That's kind of the Cliff Notes version. We'll keep you posted on a wonderful comeback that is supposed to happen for Nebraska baseball. They still have time. We got caught up yesterday with Pat Casey, head coach at Oregon State. Met Coach Casey 10, 12 years ago covering the College World Series. Stayed in touch. And Coach Casey has some thoughts on his team, on Nebraska. You'll get a chance to hear that in 30 minutes. Also ran down Ryan Held as you had the Lincoln Football Coaches Association get together last night. That, thanks to Coach Waller, Coach Hansen, and the members of the Lincoln Football Coaches Association for having that out. It's for coaches all around the region, obviously. The city of Lincoln, Grand Island, you have Kearney. I mean, you had so many coaches, and you had college coaches, too. Concordia, I saw there. You had midget football coaches. You had, I don't want to call them select, but you had some midget teams that are pretty popular around the city as well. I mean, you had coaches. My old coach, JJ, was there. He's lost a little hair. He's kind of got the lumberjack beard going, his bright idea to see how my stamina was and to have me throw pitches. But JJ coaches football too. He isn't listening. That's okay. I still love him. So, I mean, you had a ton of coaches there, and Coach Held spent a few minutes after his speaking session to talk some Nebraska football. Kevin Suitsy was there. Good to see Suitsy. So, yeah, we'll get into it. You're welcome to join us. 466-3776-800-825-5865. Big night for you, Colton. Husker women in action. You're on the call.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Senior night, so they've got three seniors playing. And, you know, take down Penn State. Penn State's kind of one of the, I don't want to say bottom dwellers, but they are on the lower.
You can say they're awful. Okay, I'll say they're awful. You got to be unbiased because you're calling the action tonight. It's a brave man to call Nebraska Penn State as bad as Penn State is in basketball.
Yeah. I think it'll be fine because there were some games. I called that Purdue game, and the first quarter between them was just
– Do you like the quarter system? I like it for high school. I haven't messed with anything in college, obviously, with it.
I think we're closer to men's getting to quarter systems just because of the pace.
Sure. Does it help?
It does. Okay. And there's only one media timeout per quarter. And then if there's another – and the way it works is there's one at the five-minute mark, unless someone calls a timeout before, then that counts as the media timeout. Then everything else is just 30 seconds. Nah, so right. The pace just, it okay. flies.
Well, that's good.
So
there you go. Well, you can hear Colton on KRNU tonight, Nebraska women. Colton will do a tremendous job. Scott Frost, how good a job will Frosty do? Hopes are high, and he's all good with that. And Tom Chattel has released a little bit of what the conversation was like. And the topic of patience, huh? And let's talk to ourselves about patience for a second, because it comes up, and it's come up a lot in the last 15 years. Well, you got to be patient with the new coach. That lasts till about one bad loss, and then you're pissed. And gradually, it's like the shrinking of Chimney Rock. The wind has knocked that thing down to a power forward instead of a center. Well, this is a little different, and I believe it's a little different. You tell me if I'm wrong, that your patience with Scott Frost is going to be, well, extra long. There's two reasons for that. One, if he can't get it done, then this thing turns into Kansas. It is, okay? Turns into Kansas football, like the or K-State football pre-Snyder. Maybe not so bad, but my point is he's your hope. He's your best hope. He's a phenomenal option, and he was phenomenal at the option. So, listen, patience for the turnaround. Frost's answer to that question, look, man, I'm paraphrasing here. Read Tom's column if you want. It's a best opportunity. Because if you get phone calls from other jobs like Oregon, like Florida, like pick somebody that was in the Frost sweepstakes. All right, man, you did it in 2 years at Central Florida. Better be 2 years at Florida. Better be 2 years at Oregon. Better be 2 years at wherever. But at Nebraska, I think the reality has kicked you straight in the face, not of bad talent at all, but I think of just brutal management. Just awful management. That plays into this. That's also the difference as to why he said yes. And the other part of that is you have the belief the state will have his back, and they know that it's going to take some time. There's familiarity. You know me. I know you. I played for you. You cheered for me, except for halftime of Central Florida. We're on the same page here. So he thinks that the patience isn't going to be an issue. Frosty's also ultra confident, and you got to love that about him. But here's what he goes on to say. And this is so Osbornean, it's beautiful. Quote, building it here is not going to be as simple as going out and recruiting 15 five-star players and putting them on the field as freshmen and watching them play. It's going to be through culture, through hard work, and development. There's a reason that Nebraska sustained success for all those years between Devaney and Osborne. The factory was built, the right kids were brought in, and they were developed the right way. They were given the right food, the right nutrition, the right support, and showed them the way. On top of that, you had upperclassmen leadership. Frost says in this response to the question about patience, every year, 3 to 6 dudes would show up and they'd been on campus 4 to 5 years. That was huge. It helped us. They'd emerge. It was their time. They'd step up and play well. That's what's going to take, and that's what they're going to put into this place. So it's about culture. Nebraska will be winning at a high level when the culture shifts around, and it's about hard work. Sip, I think, also talked to Frost And the topic of Friday Night Lights came up, and the quote on Twitter, I don't have audio, obviously, but it was, well, some of their ideas weren't terrible. With the insinuation that many were or some are, I'll let you read the tea leaves on that. But I think you're in agreements and you're nodding as a Nebraska fan right now with this response. Look, you're not going to just go get a bunch of dudes that are can't miss, throw them on the field and kick your feet up and let it happen. It's going to be culture. It's going to be hard work. It's going to be development. It's going to be dedication to that culture and to that development. Topic of freshman quarterback. Are you going to play a freshman quarterback? Absolutely. Whether you would or not. He's not declaring his starter before spring ball starts. But he does say that, look, I'm going to play the best guy at every position. Now, here's a question that's totally fair. And if you're a football fan, you've seen instances of it. There's a stigma associated with a spread offense. There's a stigma associated with a tempo offense. It's called physicality, lack of physicality. Can the offensive line in this tempo offense murder people? Can they maul people? Can they beat you up for two quarters so fourth quarter is pancake city? And I'm, you know what, I am a guy that I am going to believe it when I see it. And I saw the speed and tempo thing work at Central Florida. I saw it work at Oregon. And I saw Oregon beat some teams that they weren't supposed to beat. And I saw Oregon not get embarrassed in big games when many teams did. And why do I believe this is different when you have the tempo versus the physicality question mark? Here's your offense. Can your O-line be tough? Can your O-line get short yards? Can your O-line move the proverbial pile? Football's different, and football is shifting to just speed, 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 speed. I mean, you still have your Michigans, and you have your Florida States, and you have your Stanfords out there that run the pro style. But, man, they are the white whale. Right, they're just not many pro styles out there, and you're seeing more college. Look at Philly drifting into a college style offense with the dual threat quarterback. So why is Nebraska and Frost going to be different with their offense and the offensive line being physical with a tempo speed offense? And again, I point to Oregon. Because while Stanford won their share of battles against Oregon, and back when Oregon was rolling, it was Stanford, it was Oregon, it was Oregon, it was Stanford, and then it was SC. And then really Oregon kind of took the throne from SC. Oregon didn't win every game against Stanford, but they won enough of the games against Stanford. They could survive a 17-14 just punch fest. And the method of wearing down your opponent can still be running the football 65 times, but it can also translate into 95 plays where your defense is like, screw it. I'm tired. I'm out. So Oregon's offense is referenced by Frost when it comes to the marriage of tough and physical line play with this style of offense. You know, tempo's good. If you put it all together and you get tempo with speed, you're Ohio State with the right back, the right quarterback, and that style of offensive line. So the last question here I've got time for, and we'll get into more. Coach Osborne, how much is he going to be around the program? And you hear things, and you saw things where, with all of this transition, Coach Osborne wasn't around when Smiley was in charge. He wasn't around when Bill was in charge. Then he became around when Bill was in charge, when somebody needed their job saved. and you had T.O. around Bo. But how much advice was taken or even asked for? I don't know. I don't know. And then you just didn't have Riley around, you know, T.O. around Riley a ton. I think Mike invited Coach Osborne to practice. But you had, as some people put it, that other fella in charge over there. So wasn't going to be around a lot. But now you have Coach Frost talking about Coach Osborne. Coach was in here this morning. I'm going to lean on him for wisdom and advice. We've got to be careful with how we use Coach because there are rules against somebody who's been with the university helping Coach on certain things. Any possible way I can use him, I will. He's been up in the office quite a bit here. I'm thrilled to have him back in. He looks happy, and he's able to come in here. And there are people in the offices he's comfortable being around. Makes me happy for Coach. I think it makes people happy for Nebraska that you got Frost that's so comfortable. This is a guy he loves, wants to be the next, emulates. We'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel. He's on the way. Pat Casey, head coach, Oregon State, 25 minutes away. Tom Dienhart next hour. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Yes, that is the case. Hope you're well. Hope you're warm. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Well, you notice that different sign in your neighbor's soybean field this year. It's AgriGold. And customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm the AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you know and trust. For more info, AgriGold.com. Let's talk about high performance. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Schmitty?
I'm all right, brother. Now, basketball question here before we get into some of Frost's response to Tom Chattel, the overall general topics I'll get into with you. Any way you can lob a phone call to Flavor Flav to get here Sunday? Because Shep is Flav's cousin, and I'd like to see nothing more than Flavor Flav in the front row with the students wearing the old Viking helmet. Can you make that happen?
You know, for as much as I tried as a teenager, including writing into the Public Enemy fan club and various other things that are probably a little bit strange for a farm kid from Hemingford, I never did become good friends with Flavor Flav. I did my best. So in a perfect world, yes, I'd make that call and make that happen for you today, but it just didn't quite play out that way.
Well, and you weren't interested in Flavor of Love either, so...
No, at that point, you know, actually, that may have severed our relationship. So it's possible that I couldn't have helped you out today after all.
You're honest, and I love it. Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, on the topics of expectation and scheme, can it be different? I think it can. I want your take here when it comes to the perception, the reputation of a tempo offense and their Achilles heel being physical O-line play. Do you think it can be different and Nebraska can be kind of like Ohio State? That's the example I can run to, both physical and extremely fast and athletic and crazy. And football shifting to just that people have always wanted speed, but the emphasis has been turned up by 10 the last couple of years.
Yeah, it definitely has. And I think you can achieve both, you know, depending on how you want to break it out. UCF's offense last year, it was up there. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like top one or two in some of those plays per minute or plays per drive type of things. They use tempo selectively. You know, you kind of got to hit on those drive opening plays, and then that's where they would really put their foot on the gas. So they have some success early, and then they're going to run a bunch of stuff at you pretty quickly. But it wasn't always that way. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays. I mean, I know that's what they'll still want to try and do that, but how does that play in the Big Ten West against Iowa or Wisconsin or whoever else you want to mention? Because, you know, as you kind of saw with the Stanford-Oregon battles, the book for beating an offense like that was, well, you better play keep away, and that meant usually physical run-based football with a bunch of tight ends. And there's teams in this conference that can do that.
How did Stanford – I mean, Oregon-Stanford was just sweet. It was so good, and damn it, it was always Thursday nights. I mean, it was never a Pac-12 after dark. We didn't get that. But when you had Chip and when you had – I mean, you had some great wins by both teams on each other's field. And Oregon could go in a phone booth and win a 21-17 or 17-14 game. And while they're going for 50 on everybody else, Stanford was good enough to hold them to 17. But they still got their 17. I mean, do you just marvel at that, how they were able to really be a really good hybrid, physical and fast?
Yeah, I do. You know, I've been meaning to go back and sort of look at those, you know, go all the way back to when Oregon hired Chip Kelly and like what his rise was like, and then him kind of pulling Frost in and what he saw in him. So that's kind of one of my long-term projects, because it is a marvel at how much that has changed football for whatever reason. I was listening to an interview with Mississippi State's new running backs coach, and you know, he compared it to Golden State and three-pointers. He's like, we want three-point shooters. We want guys who can go big. And that's really sort of an encapsulation of where the game is at. So it's interesting how it's changed, and you can trace a lot of that back to Oregon.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. About 12 minutes away, our conversation with Pat Casey, and Oregon State is now up a touchdown on Nebraska. Extra point went through. Vogues, when it comes to patience and Frost, and he's pretty confident that he'll get the support and love and time he needs to turn it around. But the way things turn around, he was emphatic, was with culture and hard work versus throwing a bunch of freshman five stars out there and winning that way. Really, development was emphasized. And what's your take right now? I mean, Nebraska fans, look, they got upset the first really bad loss, 70-10 Tech, and I don't remember the really bad blowout that Bo suffered first, but that probably a first. That Big Ten championship game where Wisco went for 70, okay, that wasn't cool. Riley got beat by Purdue. People were ready to light torches. There's been a run of whoever's followed T.O. and whoever followed Frank. There was a bit of a honeymoon period, and then it went away. I think it'll be longer, and I think Frost will do well here. That said, It's a reality that Nebraska fans have tried to be patient, but they've also seen the reset button not work.
Yeah, it's really interesting because of some of the specific circumstances of Frost's standing in the coaching world at the end of last year, and his relationship to Nebraska, the fact that he's from here, because I do think it gives people naturally a little bit more patience, because you don't want to consider the alternative of, oh, what if this one doesn't work?
But it's Kansas also, football. That's the alternative.
it might be a case where there's more patience in the fan base than there is internally. And I don't know sort of what the behind the scenes conversations are like between the coaches, but in all their public comments, you know, they sort of, Scott said it on the day he was hired and took the job, that, you know, we're gonna get this thing up to speed quickly. You hear from a lot of the assistants of leaning on that experience they had 2 years ago at Central Florida. We kind of look at this as, well, look at 2016, what Central Florida did, and that's kind of realistic of what to expect for Nebraska. But this isn't the first time they're doing it this time. So, I mean, not to fast forward and diminish some of that patience, but you know, I think that plays into it too. I think that will help them this time around.
I think you're right, and I think you just nailed something pretty important, that externally people are just happy he's here and let's get back to being Nebraska, right? Well, internally, they may be looking at it. Look, we've been together 2 years. We know each other. We've got the camaraderie. We have the cohesion. Everyone's worked with everybody. Oh, and by the way, no disrespect to Central Florida, but you've got pretty damn good athletes here that's been recruited the last few years. I mean, why not go 8-5 your first year? Why not win 9? Which is total pie in the sky if you're realistic about things. But they're competitors. They may be saying, hell, 9-3 is not good enough.
Absolutely, I think that's possible. And, you know, in addition to everything you said, like, the 2 years at Central Florida are probably as good a proof of concept as you're going to find in that short of time period. So they come in confident. They come in learning from what they did the first time, thinking, well, maybe we can do this one even better. I really think that and get that sense. So it's a pretty enviable spot to be in if you're a college football coach, one in which maybe the fan patience already outdistances what your own internal clock is. It almost never happens that way. And if that's how it plays out here, I think that's a pretty big advantage. Now, it could be interesting to see, you know, say Nebraska gets to 4-0. That means going on the road and beating a Michigan team that has a ton of pressure. Then what do things look like? Because then all of a sudden you've got that 8 or 9 win season in your sights and people start to believe. So we'll see how things quickly things would change in that scenario if they could get there.
You know, you say you get one in Ann Arbor, little Devaney 1962 style. But damn it, that schedule. Man, I mean, oh, great, you're 4-0. Don't be mad about finishing 8-4. I mean, the schedule's just brutal. It looks brutal anyway. And let's play up the fact that it is Roman gladiator-type brutality. Okay, let's just play up. So 10-3 is going to look so cool. We're just cranking everybody up here. Vogue's about 2 minutes here. What's your take on Osborne's role? Frost mentioned that – I mean, doors, you know, it's simple. It's easy. Doors open. We got to be careful with how much he can do because of rules. But, I mean, he is going to be leaned on and asked about and talked to and tapped for knowledge by Coach Frost. And for the first time, probably since Frank, that's a real thing where it is going to be, well, Tom's just down the hall in his office and everyone's all good with it.
I really do think sort of the perfect, I guess, amount of that is I'm here when you need me, and you have a coach who can ask for those things he needs at the right time. And I don't know if Nebraska's had that. You know, there were moments in the program where Coach Osborne wasn't around, probably not totally through his choice, although he's not going to be the guy that says, I need to have a role in this. It's just sure. It's not who he is. You know, you probably had some coaches who tried to involve him, but they don't have the relationship with Coach Osborne that Coach Frost does. So I think that plays a big part in it. If there's legitimately something that Coach Frost, you know, doesn't understand about this place immediately and from a coaching perspective or things like that, he can lean on that. And I think that's probably what it ends up being. And that's really a perfect blend in my mind.
Brandon Vogel, read his hot reads, alevarsity.com. Follow Brandon on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogels will be wearing a Public Enemy shirt on Sunday, but it'll be a red one for Nebraska Penn State. Vogels, we'll get caught up. Thanks so much. Awesome stuff this week with the hot reads. Awesome stuff with the recruiting issue. We'll talk soon, bud.
All right. Thanks a lot.
There he is. Brandon Vogel with us, alevarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Pat Casey, head coach, Oregon State. Our chat with him. He loves him some Husker baseball. Oregon State doing work on the Big Red right now.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Great series for Nebraska as they are down in Arizona, set up with one of the top baseball teams and programs in the country, Oregon State. And head coach for Oregon State, Coach Pat Casey, back with us. Coach, great to speak with you. How's the season started for you? I know you're 4-0. Are you pleased?
You always want to win games early. You know, we're playing a lot of guys. Probably haven't played two of the games as well as we wanted to play them, but, you know, that's normal for probably any coach to say. So I'm happy that the guys are getting to play. You know, we got some weather up there where we're at, so it's nice to be down here playing, that's for sure.
Pat Casey, head coach, Oregon State, with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, you've done a lot of early season tournaments in the state of Arizona, and you get to match up again with Nebraska. What are your thoughts on a Darren Erstad team? You've seen him before.
Always good. Well coached. Going to be disciplined in what they do. Always going to play the game right. It's always fun to play those guys, but it's also a challenge. I know how good they are this year, and looking forward to that.
Coach, what's your approach to this season? I mean, 55-6 a year ago, within a game of the finals in the CWS. I mean, Omaha is where Oregon State always finds a way to be when it comes to CWS time. You've lost a lot, but you have a lot back. What did you say to the guys, some of the leaders on the team, when it comes to 2018?
Well, we just shouldn't try to duplicate that record. That probably will never happen again for a team that I coach. We won 14 or 15 one-run games. The ball bounced our way. That's not what we're out here to do. We know we lost some key guys. And so let's just try to become the best club we can become and not try to set goals that are unattainable. Let's try to set daily goals, weekly goals. And so I think they've done a pretty good job of trying to stay within themselves and not try to get too big on the other part of it.
Coach, what are you wanting and looking for from your offense this year?
Well, I think we got to be a better offensive club because we're not as good on the mound. So we have to score more runs. We're going to have to be more diversified. We lost a lot of power with KJ Harrison and a lot of speed with Donahue and some guys like that. But so we got to be more balanced. You know, we got to be able to be a better team, and we got our batting average needs to go up. Our strikeouts need to go down, and I just think we need to be able to defend as well. You know, I think once you get your team off the field, that certainly helps your offense because, then you don't have to do so many things to score so many runs. So, I think that helps perpetuate offense by being a good defensive club.
Pat Casey, few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, head coach, Oregon State Baseball. What do you think or what opinion do you have of your offense through four games? I mean, 40 runs, 57 hits, your team average is .385. Those are incredible numbers. That said, what's a realistic outlook for this offense? What's a fair, I guess, label to put on them moving forward?
Well, the obviously nobody's going to hit .385 in today's game, and you get in these tournaments and you got four games and you get ahead of somebody, and so then there's some pitching changes that have to be made in order to preserve for other arms. So that thing's obviously inflated. We swing the bat well, and we got some balls to drop, but like I said, it comes down to these early games and people having to get stretched out with their games and having to throw some arms that maybe they wouldn't throw in conference and some things like that, which really elevates those batting average. So I just think, like I said, we just need to be a more complete club. I don't think we look for a specific number. I don't think we need to hit .310 or .290 or anything like that. I just think we need to become a complete club, and I think that our guys got their eyes set on that, and I think that if I can keep the guys moving in the right direction and believing in what we're doing, I think we'll be fine.
What makes Nick Madrigal so special? You've had a number of talented guys. What sticks out about him?
Well, he's just such a complete player. He loves to play defense. He's very gifted with being able to run. He just does everything that you're looking for a guy. It's hard sometimes to get guys to be complete players. He's one of those guys that really, really enjoys that part of it, does a great job of being a team leader, kind of doesn't let things get to him. But he just plays the game the way it should be played on both sides of the the white lines, offense, defense, you name it. If there's something that Nick needs to do, he finds a way to do it. And, I mean, I think that's what makes him special. And certainly he's gifted. I mean, there's no denying the fact that some kids have some gene pool that works for him pretty good. He's one of those guys, that's for sure.
Larnach in the cleanup spot. What type of growth have you seen from him?
Well, you know, he's obviously got off to an unbelievable start. I mean, you know, he's really swinging the bat well. And I think that he'll continue to be a real offensive threat. Those numbers that he's got right now are obviously highly, highly inflated. But, you know, he's going to be good, man. He's really made some adjustments with the swing. He's really disciplined himself in what he's trying to accomplish. You know, he's another guy. You know, he just stuck with it. You know, I think he hit under 200 as a freshman. I think last year, you know, he jumped up and hit about 275, and I think this year he'll be a guy that can hit the middle order and stay there all year long.
Tell me about your pitching. Oregon State's been phenomenal. Heimlich is tremendous on the mound. I've been doing some research on Donovan, that 6'6 lefty you got. But so far, so good with your staff. But you got some new faces, some new arms. Have you been pleased with the starting rotation, and then have you figured out what direction you want to go bullpen-wise?
Well, I'll tell you, that's one area where we really got to get better is our starting pitching. And, yes, Heimlich's good. Heimlich's a guy that's been there. Heimlich's a guy that can really get you deep into games and some things like that. But somebody else has to step up. You know, we got Bryce Simmel, who had a good year last year but not a great year. You know, our biggest problem there is we lost Jake Thompson, and he won 14 games for us, and he made that weekend solidified with him. So we just got to find, you know, we like a freshman kid named Abel. You know, he's a guy that got to throw a couple innings in relief, and he's a guy. But, you know, that's an area where we have been very, very good. That's going to be a challenge for us this year. We're going to have to really get somebody to step up and, you know, help us out in that area, because that's an area where we don't have a lot of experience.
Pat Casey's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, head coach, Oregon State Baseball. Coach, before we say goodbye, some concerns you have against Nebraska, some things that are on your mind when facing this team.
Well, like I said, they're always going to come at you. They're going to be a good offensive club. They're going to do it right. They're going to play the game the way you should play it. They're playing for a winner. You know, it's going to be hopefully good games, and that's just every time you play somebody that's coached like that, somebody that has a program like that, somebody that has the history they have, that's what you're going to get, and we're looking forward to that.
Have you had a chance to say hi to Mike Riley?
You know, what's funny is I have not even seen Mike, and I know he's at the football dinner, and I didn't see him, but, you know, we've been on the go, and I have not seen him. But I'm pretty sure our paths will cross rather shortly.
Coach, enjoy Arizona. Best to you guys, and Nebraska fans excited to see Oregon State and vice versa. So we'll get caught up again. Thanks for a few minutes.
You got it, man. Anytime. Great always talking to you guys back there.
Gotta love Pat Casey. Oregon State still on top of Nebraska. Get to Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. A great focus on health and fitness and wellness. Yoga studio, TRX classes, 3 indoor pools, cardio equipment, and of course, how about pickleball, basketball courts? Get an appointment today with Madonna Proactive at 56th and Pine Lake.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Tom Dienhard, Big Ten Network, BTN.com. Senior writer, going to be with us in 10 minutes. Preview Nebraska. We'll hear from Coach Ryan Held. Had comments after the LFCA clinic last night. Nebraska baseball, Oregon State. You just heard from Pat Casey. He was kind enough to spend a few minutes with us. Top of the eighth now. Nebraska on the board. 7-1, but they trail Oregon State. Colton, I got to bring you in here and ask you a food question. Mother gave me a phenomenal recipe and some salsa and some spices for fish tacos. And have you ever fired those up in the wintertime?
Fish tacos?
Yes.
I've never done them myself.
I'll eat them too, but to the point of, is it something I can do? Because I'm the only one in the house that will probably do a fish taco, but I'm still not a huge fish guy, if that makes sense.
I don't know. Fish is kind of one of those things that, like...
Because I can't, like, I'll just be beaten within an inch of my life. Carson and the wife will find tube socks and put soap bars in them, and they'll go full metal on me if I put fish in the microwave.
See, that's the thing.
You can't do that to people. Even people you're supposed to love.
I made fish at my house.
You did that to your roommates?
Probably, well, my sister and my brother-in-law, and yeah. They complained about it for a while. And I was
you're lucky you didn't get evicted.
I got to the point where I was like, yeah, no, this is bad.
So you even said, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was like, I won't do that.
Because if I can't fire the grill up or put the smoker going.
Right.
Exactly today. I'd be lucky if I can open my smoker or my grill with this freaking ice that's supposed to be happening.
I guess it depends on the fish. I would save it till it's warm.
It's a good call.
Probably. Or go get it from a restaurant, one of the two.
Nah, that's totally fair. Totally fair. Sauter Heyman, real fair when it comes to prices, expectation, and delivery. Over 100 years of excellence, Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick and your friends and ask him about the pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. All the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds and very beautiful glow. And setting when it comes to pure-grown diamonds, eco-friendly, 100% sustainable, and 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Think about this. Maybe it's time to upgrade the wedding ring. What I mean by that is put some diamonds on her band. Or maybe it's time to think about some diamond earrings. Or just put a diamond necklace together. Pure-grown diamonds can make that happen for you. And it can look beautiful, and it will look beautiful with Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island when you visit Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. You can log on SauterHeyman.com. Next hour, we will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Frampton and Steve Miller Band. That's coming up next hour. We'll have thoughts from recruiting coordinator and running backs coach Ryan Held. When it comes to the transition process, they're walking into a new group of kids. They're getting to know each other. Scott Frost speaks about morning practices. That is a thing for not only the spring, but the fall, per his interview with Tom Chattel. I love that. That's good stuff. And you'll hear from Tom Deanhart. We'll get caught up with Tom. Not plenty of Nebraska basketball and football to hit with him as he's in the midst of his spring previews with BTN. .com. Hour two on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, talking with BTN senior columnist Tom Deanhart with us. Tom, it's been a while, man. How are you?
Doing good. We got basketball season heating up. And, of course, spring football will be starting for some of these schools as soon as, I think, even next week.
Yeah, it's just around the corner. Can find Tom, BTN.com, and at BTN Tom Deanhart on Twitter. Let's start with basketball before we mosey over to football. And big one Sunday for Nebraska and Penn State. A lot of the bracketologists out there have moved Penn State in front of Nebraska, but both are still on the outside looking in. What impresses you about Nebraska as we get down towards the end of the regular season? And specifically, what impresses you about Nebraska when it comes to Penn State? What do you think Nebraska can do advantage-wise against Penn State? Penn State's phenomenal. They've got balance and scoring. I know what they're about.
Yeah, boy, both teams, the starting fives, very impressive. You know, Penn State, Lamar Stevens, you know, Tony Carr, the point guard's getting a lot of accolades, Mike Watkins, Shep Garner, Josh Reeves. It's a pretty good group Pat Chambers has. And you know, Tim Miles, you know, I mean, no news to you guys. Transfers, you know, Isaac Copeland, Palmer, outstanding, and Watson, a guard. A lot to like. It's a big game, obviously, in Lincoln coming up. But I don't know. I tell you what, I think both these teams really have their back against the wall. And I think the odds of them making the big dance are probably pretty slim. I think they lost by Nebraska at Illinois a week or so ago last weekend was awfully painful. And then Penn State had two golden opportunities here at Purdue on Sunday. Purdue didn't have its best player. They lost three games in a row. Penn State still lost. And, of course, getting beat at home by Michigan. I think the only way either of these teams gets into the NCAA tournament is to win the Big Ten tournament.
You know, I'm about right there with you, Tom. And Penn State had such an opportunity, you're right, because they got things kicked off against Ohio State. They swept them. They were right there against a Purdue team that was down one of their standouts, lost by three. They just couldn't get over the hump against Michigan last night. What could have been an incredible four-game finish for Penn State has turned into a 1-2 finish and potentially a 1-3 finish, even if they split and win in Lincoln, which will be tough because the old sixth man's going to be getting rowdy before tip-off down in the rail yard. Nebraska's been so good at home. Penn State it'll be a tight ball game, but I think you're right. I think if Nebraska beats Penn State, does what they need to do against Michigan, assuming Michigan wins, and gets Sparty or one of the other big ones, but specifically Sparty, then you take down Michigan. I think they can play their way in New York City without winning the Big Ten tournament, but better to be safe than sorry, right? Just win the whole thing.
Yeah, going to be tough. You're right. They need quality wins. You know, it's not just about looking at somebody's record and seeing, 25-6 and going, wow, well, that record looks like it's NCAA worthy. They were 13-5 in their conference and 14-4. That's an NCAA tournament record. It goes well beyond just the surface. People don't seem to understand that. You have to look at the quality of wins, and it's just not there for Nebraska. I mean, they have the 20-point home win over Michigan. And what else do they have on their resume that stands out?
A lot of near misses, man.
It doesn't matter. They've gotten fat playing a lot of bad teams. The Big Ten's just not a good conference this year. And you got to have quality wins. They're going to get that opportunity. That's all they can ask for, right? First of all, you got to beat Penn State like you're talking about. I think they'll do that. And then get to New York City. There's your opportunity right there. You're going to have to get deep into that bracket where you're starting to play those quality teams, the Michigans, the Purdue's, the Ohio States and Michigan States. You got to get into that part of the bracket, and then you got to beat those teams. At the very least, like you said, they got to get to Sunday, and I think they still probably even have to win on Sunday to get in just to give them another quality win. So we'll see. Man, I may be wrong. It's going to be fun. I certainly think they have a talent to be in the tournament. It's just too bad they couldn't close the deal against Kansas earlier this year and gotten a few other Big Ten wins over quality teams. So we'll see. It's certainly been a fun year there.
It's been a really awesome year for Nebraska. You've had this build-up. You've had this, you know, dance talk start weeks ahead of when it started last time. Really, it was not till mid-February in 2014 when you won at Michigan State, and then you beat Frank the Tank and company here on No-Sit Sunday. So you don't have those wins on your resume this year for Nebraska. You know, Tom Deanhart's with us, BigTen.com, senior writer at BTN, Tom Deanhart. Tom, we'll get to some spring football in a second. I want your take here with the Yahoo story that is out there when it comes to the FBI, the wiretaps, college basketball's future. They're not going to have much in the form of trials and pre-trial stuff till 2019. That said, that is likely when some more information could leak out. Do you think college basketball's on the verge of a nuclear situation, a critical situation? It looks like it. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
But what does the NCAA get? What do you foresee? What do you project?
Yeah, like you said, from what we've read from Yahoo, Pete Thamel, his story recently certainly paints a pretty bleak picture, doesn't it? I think I can't remember the exact phrase, but I think it was something to the effect that if your school produced a first-round pick in the last, 3 to 5 years, you should be worried. we keep reading stuff like that, and I guess a lot of schools should be shaking in their boots, right? So we'll see. It sounds like it's going to take a while for us maybe to get untangled. Obviously, the FBI, the investigations, you know, moves at its own pace, very thorough. And we'll see when that next bomb drops, I guess, as to when names are named. And, you know, we see who gets ensnared in this net. And then once the FBI's through doing its thing, then the NCAA will come in and do its thing, right? So, like I said, this could be a year or two process, but it's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds. And, yeah, it could be transformative, you know, from what we're to believe what we've read, real seismic change in college football. Some real blue blood programs could be shaken to their core, and it's going to be very interesting to see. We just got a tip of the iceberg a few months ago with, you know, Arizona and USC and Auburn and Louisville and Oklahoma State. So we'll see where this goes. It's going to be interesting.
Well, it'll be real interesting. And if you're the NCAA and you find out the teams that people want to tune in for in March from across the Power Five and even, let's just say, your top 40, okay? If everyone's got a payroll, allegedly, where do you draw the line? Your budget, okay, you're small market. Your payroll was this, so we're not going to hurt you too bad. Your budget's New York Yankees-esque, so you guys are going to be watching the tournament for a while, but oops, we can't do that because then no one will watch March Madness. I don't know what you do if you're the NCAA. I know what you should do, but I don't know what you can do.
Yeah, like I said, that's one of the problems of the NCAA. You know, one of its perceived shortcomings is, you know, they don't want to kill the golden goose.
Right.
You want to paralyze your blue chip programs that draw the eyeballs and the TV ratings and bring in the most money, commit that type of suicide. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, like I said, to see what type of penalties are enacted and really how severe they are. And, again, this stuff with Louisville right now, my goodness. What we saw recently was even the FBI stuff. That was just the prostitution and whatnot that brought all those allegations and then the sanctions from the NCAA. What's going to happen when the NCAA then digs in on the FBI stuff once that all has unfolded? So, you know, that's the big marquee program right now that's really in the crosshairs.
They are. Tom Dienhard, a few more minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio, senior writer with the Big Ten Network at BTN. Tom Dienhard, read him. A number of spring previews up on BTN.com. Scott Frost fever is still at 100 plus, Tom. And spring games sold out. Spring football is going to get cranked up. I saw your preview on Nebraska and the position groups you're intrigued by: quarterback, secondary, O-line. Let's start with the quarterback situation. And of the kids that are on campus right now that are vying for the job, and you look at Martinez, you look at POB, you look at Jebbia, which one of those three are you most intrigued by?
I guess O'Brien. I still remember he came to campus, a California kid, highly recruited, highly rated. Mm-hmm. Was really supposed to be the guy before Tanner Lee got there and sort of took over. So, I'm interested just to see where he's at. He's had some seasons under his belt. I know it's a new staff, but again, I want to see if maybe he's a guy that can take the reins. And then, of course, like you said, the Martinez kid as well. I know they were really excited to get him on signing day. And is it too much, too fast? We'll see. But we all know they have to get that quarterback spot figured out. Have to change the culture as well. And you know what, Chris, as well as any other spots on that team, football is always one up front, right? Yeah. And we can talk about the skill positions all we want, but offensive line, defensive line, I guess for too long those areas haven't really been up to par. And those really have to be at the forefront to get Nebraska back to where I think it wants to be.
You nailed it, man. And the offensive line, I mean, Tom, you know college football. You've covered it for decades, man. And you know when Nebraska's been great, they've been great up front. And with the offensive line, what's your opinion? Why do you think Nebraska's fallen, not just from a Nebraska standard on the offensive line? And I think Coach Austin will be tremendous here. But why do you think they've fallen in the Big Ten West? I mean, they have not even sniffed what Wisconsin and Iowa have done. And oh, by the way, Minnesota's had pretty good line play as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess it has to be a combination of a personnel and coaching. And there's been so much turnover there, it seems like, too. Mm-hmm. The quick change from Pelini and obviously then to Mike Wiley. Now you have another staff coming in, and I don't think all that helps either. So, again, like I said, I think it's a combination of personnel and coaching. I mean, honestly, Chris, you would know this better than me. In the last 5 to 7 years, how many offensive linemen from Nebraska have been drafted?
I can name three guys that are in the league now. Searles and Qualley, both free agents. And then you had Spencer Long, a third-round pick. Remember Spencer, the All-Big Ten guard? He's played center for the Redskins now. But that was a third-round pick. Beyond that, I'm trying to rack my brain right now, and I usually don't fumble this. I think it's been Spencer. You've had Rex drafted. You've had Amir drafted. You had Kenny Bell drafted. You've had some skill guys drafted. On the defensive line, you've had Malik. You've had Vincent. You've had Randy. And then you've had, you know, some secondary guys, Will Compton at linebacker. But the name that's ringing to me from a drafted standpoint, you had the kid that was that transferred from Colorado that's with Baltimore. But, right, we can count on one hand, is to your point.
Yeah, that's again, it gets back to personnel and recruiting the right guys. I think that's really where it slipped. So, they have to get that fixed up, and you got to be good up front. And I'm not saying the NFL draft could be all end all when it comes to measuring things, but to me, it's a pretty good barometer. How many guys are getting picked from your school? The NFL doesn't care where you're from. If you're from Touchdown State or Nebraska, they're going to find you if you're good. And again, Nebraska just hasn't had those offensive linemen even getting picked. So, that's going to be an interesting spot to watch. They have a lot of veterans coming back up front, a lot of experienced players. So we'll see. You got to keep Trey Bryant healthy. I think it's going to be a pretty good wide receiver. So there's stuff to work there offensively. But the defense, too, Chris, my gosh, what an abomination. I mean, from front to back, a total abomination. So I think if I'm a Nebraska fan, I'm more worried about the defense in the offense at this point.
You know what? The defense, I mean, it has to get better, right? Because it
can't get much worse.
Right. And it comes down to a style of play. And I think that'll be welcomed by the kids. Just, hey, you got to learn it, I know. But at least it's going to be aggressive. It's going to go hit the quarterback and get turnovers. And you might give up a big play, but this offense is supposed to put up a lot of points, too. So I think it'll be maybe a better fit, better complement. From a philosophy standpoint,
I think the kids have to be excited about Frost. I think he brings a swagger. I think he brings a cachet with him. He's one of them. And again, I really think he brings a lot of those intangibles that I think are going to help. I'm a firm believer that things are never as bad as you think, and they're never as good as you think. So this isn't a total, you know, pile of wreckage there he's walking into. I'm telling you, there's plenty of things to work with, number one. Number two, the good news, the Big Ten West isn't loaded with a lot of mega powers. You don't have to climb over Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan State. So that's going to help, too. So I guess my point is, I think this script can be flipped pretty quickly. And, again, I wouldn't be shocked if Frost has his team, you know, climbing up that ladder pretty quick, because I don't think it's going to take much to catch Iowa or Northwestern, honestly. And then you have Wisconsin, right? So it could be a real fun few years here in Lincoln to watch this thing develop.
Well, I got the right guy and the whole Big Red Nation behind Scott Frost. Tom Dean Hart, senior writer, BTN.com, and you catch him on BTN from time to time as well. At BTN, Tom Dean Hart, read him and follow him on Twitter. Tom, we'll do this again, bud. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You got it. I may be out there this spring. Yeah, stay in touch, Chris.
We'll see Tommy Dean Hart, hopefully, for the spring game. We'll talk to you about Husker morning practices. Comments from Coach Held on the way as well.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Let's do that. 466-377-6800-825-5865. We'll get to some calls and comments, thoughts on Nebraska baseball. It is over. Finished. Ugh. Wow. Tom Dienhart, thoughts on Nebraska basketball you may have disagreed with, needing to win the whole thing. We'll take your calls here shortly. Husker baseball. Okay, the good news is, well, your ace didn't even pitch today if you're Nebraska baseball. This was the welcome to college baseball. Here's Oregon State. Here's the bar you're chasing. Here's who you'll see in a super regional or Omaha. And it didn't work out so well for Nebraska. 9-1, Oregon State. Listen, Oregon State rolled in scoring 40 runs. Okay, hitting 385 as a squad. And they've got Nick Madrigal, probably player of the year. 17 hits. You had a bunch of freshmen make their debut for Nebraska. Listen, you took it on the chin. You got a public beating today. That's fine, but it wasn't with your best on the hill. Now, offensively, you're going to have to figure things out if you're Nebraska. You just got to get things going. And that'll be a work in progress for the Big Red. But you lost to the best or one of the best in college baseball today. Got a text from my dad. He's like, who won the baseball game? Well, you know, you're 15 minutes from where they just played. It's not 4 degrees with 7 inches of ice. Why are you asking me who won? Love you. But you should be heading back from the ball game and doing fish tacos on your grill like Colton and I talked about. Is this Brian?
Ryan,
thank you. Ryan, go ahead. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. My comments kind of were on, like, this bubble watch thing with Nebraska. As much as I want to see them give me, like, the big dance, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll get it, maybe they won't, but a part of me hopes they just get the NIT. Well, no, don't get an NIT. They will get an NIT for sure. But my reason saying that is because every time Nebraska made the big dance, I think it was 3 years ago, we drew Baylor in the first round. It was, like, was it 12 seed?
Nebraska was an 11 seed. Baylor was a 6 seed.
Yeah, and like I said, like, you know, and we, you know, I mean, Baylor's tough. I mean, they were tall.
So you don't want to, part of you doesn't want to go because you're afraid you'll lose?
No, I'm not afraid to lose, but I think Nebraska, you know, we lost the only
You're going to draw some, if you get in without winning the whole thing, you're going to draw a 6 or a 7 or a better seed.
No, I'm saying if Nebraska gets in the big dance, they're going to draw what best, 11 or 12 seed again and get trucked by a way higher seed.
I don't know that that's the case this year. I mean, they got to get in, and that's.
But I'm just saying, I think they have a chance of having a better run in the NIT than they would in a big dance.
You know what? And thanks for calling, Ryan. Appreciate it. And
yep.
I'm sorry, man. I don't. I'll watch and support the team if they go to the NIT. I don't want that, nor do I care. If you go to the NIT, who cares? I'm sorry, I've moved on. You're this good a team. Get to the dance. NIT, I mean, that is going to be a straight up... that's going to be... deflating. Deflating. Let's go to Nate. Nate, talk to me. How are you?
I'm good, man. That Dienhart guy, Dienhart, I don't want to pronounce his name. He's out of his mind. Like,
I don't think he's wrong. No, I don't think he's wrong. I don't think he's that wrong. I think it's going to be very, very razor paper thin for Nebraska to get any love, any help.
One time in history, the Big Ten sent only 4 teams. If that happens again in this age of money, you better believe that Delaney will be on that phone to meet. It's not happening. The Big Ten getting 4 teams in is akin to, a 13-0 Wisconsin team not making it into the college football playoff. It's not going to happen. And you get this cute narrative of, what if? Look, at the end of the day, money talks. The Big Ten is going to get their five teams in. It's kind of a rule. I guarantee you every one of the Power Fives will get 4 or 5 teams in. And then you'll get the one that, okay, well, we actually legitimately are
Pac-12 got held down to 3, though, didn't they?
Well, the Pac-12 is like literally two teams deep every year. Now they rotate which two teams between UCLA,
Arizona, and whoever else, right?
Yeah, right. They rotate who the teams are, but top to bottom, they're never good.
I think you're in. You're in with four, the four you know, and the four you've heard from the Big Ten. I think five's a stretch. Five for Nebraska. Five has got to be Nebraska. And here's the other thing. If they impress the eyeballs of the selection committee, they'll be in New York City, by the way. It's like the
Which
only benefit. That's the only benefit of going early for the Big Ten. Selection committee's likely going to be there. I know Rasmussen will be there. So at least you see what you got, and it's that eye test versus the resume. It's one last push, but they still got to win. I think they can win. I think they can win Sunday, but they still got to get set up and hope Michigan wins. They still got to beat Michigan. Then they hope they get Sparty. And they beat Sparty. I think they got to get to the finals. I don't think they got to win it. I think they got to get to the finals.
They're good because they're not going to put Michigan ahead of us when we shellack them. Even if Michigan goes, unless Michigan beats us by 20 points, where it would literally tip the scales back to even, they're not going to do that. They're not. Okay,
they'll take Michigan over Nebraska, even if Nebraska finishes in front of them. Nebraska's got to beat them again.
There's no way they could justify that to ahead of a major conference. There's no way they could.
They'll go to resume.
A one-point loss to a one seed?
They'll go to resume. They'll go to resume, and if Nebraska splits with Michigan, we're ahead of ourselves, brother. But if they Michigan, if they sweep Michigan, it's moot. Doesn't matter.
Well, true. If we beat Penn State, it's probably moot, and it doesn't matter. I mean, seriously, unless we go out and beat Penn State and then get gassed by Michigan. If we have some kind of embarrassing Colorado-Nebraska 2001.
Just lost to Illinois, brother. You just lost to Illinois.
Yeah. Illinois is not the worst team in the world. So
you and I know that, but the point is everyone's like, so, and the Big Ten's been bad, okay? So
true.
They aren't easy to watch nor take, and it's you're not getting credit for these wins over Wisconsin.
Believe that this is the second time in 48 years the Big Ten is only going to get four teams in.
I think if Nebraska does not get to the finals of the Big Ten, yes.
You're crazy.
Maybe so. I'm selling it. I'll sell you some. Be good, man. Thanks for the call. And Nate will call me up and say, Schmidt, you're high and you're wrong. It's okay. 466-377-6800-825-5865 Tom Deanhart thinks that Penn State and Nebraska really likely got to win this thing. I'm not going to go that far and say they got to win the whole thing. I think Nebraska. What hurts is it would have been really nice to have Penn State go 2-1, lose last night, but beat Purdue. They already got Ohio State, so you get them on a 3-1 finish. You didn't. So I was talking Nebraska baseball, 9-1. Nebraska used carry the one, a lot of starters. Okay, they gave up 17 hits. Six different starters, okay? That's who saw the hill tonight for Nebraska. Or this afternoon. Take more of your thoughts on Nebraska basketball. Ryan Held was with Coach Becton. Coach Greg Austin last night putting a football clinic on for the Lincoln Football Coaches Association. And it was some pretty good stuff here with Coach Held after he spoke. We'll have a chance for you to win Steve Miller Band tickets and Frampton seats. But here is Coach Held asked about, you know, the importance of connecting with in-state coaches. And you had a slew of high school, midget football, and, you know, NAIA college coaches here. And everyone's out there to shake hands, but it means a ton to these coaches around the state of Nebraska, that these coaches for Nebraska keep saying how important the state of Nebraska is, but also they're living it. They are absolutely following through with this narrative, and it's nice to hear.
Well, at the end of the day, we want our local guys and obviously the whole state of Nebraska to know how much they mean to us. And, you know, we want to be able to go out and if we can give them some tidbits, you know, whether it's schematically or drills that can help them improve their programs, that's, you know, what we're here for. And we just want them to know we're willing to take the time to come out of our schedule to come down here and build a relationship. You know, that's that's important to us. When Coach Frost, you know, took the job, we're all in on. We understand how important Nebraska is to this football program, this state, and you know, so we want to reach out and do everything we can within the rules, you know, to make everybody feel like we're family.
Coach Held means it and is living it as, again, a clinic last night, another basketball thought, as can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let's do that, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Folks wanting to chime in on, you know, what Nebraska's got to do for the tournament, and it's a question we've asked the last 3 weeks, and it's shifted a bit. Jacob, thanks for calling. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
So my question is, why does Michigan get in if we beat them in the Big Ten tournament?
I don't think they get in over us if we beat them in the Big Ten tournament. If we split with them, if we get knocked out by Michigan, assuming you beat Penn State to keep that four seed, assuming Michigan wins their bye round game to meet up with Nebraska again, I think Nebraska's got to sweep Michigan to jump Michigan.
I believe you just said that we had to make the finals, though, to make the Big Ten, or to make the tournament.
And to do that, you got to beat Michigan in the Big Ten tournament first.
And then you have another round after that.
You do. You get Michigan.
So why do
you get Michigan State?
Why do we have to make the finals then?
Because
we just have to make the semifinals. Michigan's 0-4 against ranked teams.
That's fine. They've also beaten some teams that are in the tournament. Nebraska has one win. Listen, I'm not arguing with you that, hey, it'd be great for Nebraska to get in the tournament. I'm just telling you who's beaten who, okay? And Nebraska right now has one win over Michigan.
So but you agree that if we beat Michigan, we're in?
I think if they beat Michigan, they're fine. I would take it one step further, right? And why not just take
Michigan? I agree with that.
Why not take Michigan State down while you're at it? It's a lot to ask to win the whole thing in New York City, but that's what Nebraska's missing, right? What's the word right now? Nebraska beats Kansas. We're not talking about Nebraska being out. Nebraska beats Michigan State. Nebraska gets Purdue. Nebraska gets one more win against somebody that's worth a damn. We're not having this discussion about being on the bubble or being outside the bubble.
Absolutely. You give us the Creighton win, you give us the Kansas win, or the Ohio State win. I think if we have any
and
one
you're
of those,
you
I'm
need,
pretty sure
you,
we're locked.
Jacob, you need that opportunity in New York City. You need to take down Michigan State or Purdue.
But do you agree that you don't want to show all your hand? I mean, I understand for us.
It doesn't matter, man. Just get there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Jacob,
be
good.
Ready.
Thanks.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Get to more of your calls on Nebraska, the bubble, the tournament. What do you believe has got to happen aside from a W over the Nittany Lions Saturday? I need to relax. It's like I'm getting painted as a, well, they're out. They can't get in. Look, man, I believe what I believe, and I've said for the last month that if they win out and get one, they're fine. They didn't win out. So now it's, dear God, you got to forget about losing to Illinois. You know how I would do that? I'd jump in a spa with Deb, the spa lady, Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, also a location in Omaha. Deb, can we help ease some of this bubble talk? You have bubbles, but the right kind of bubbles, right?
I know. We got the right kind of bubbles, and we're on the right side of the bubble. But we are enjoying this spa time because, I tell you what, when it's cold out like this, that's the only place to be, I think. And we are getting spas delivered. A lot of times people think we can't groom a spa in this kind of weather, but we sure can, and we're doing it. So don't be afraid to come in, pick one out, get a great deal on an in-stock spa. We'll get it delivered, set up, and you'll be out enjoying it during this cold, cold weather.
You're going to have it in time to watch the selection show, and mm-hmm. You'll be on the right side of the bubble enjoying relaxation with Home Innovation Spas 20th and Highway 2. Deb, the spa lady, spasonline.com, also a location in Omaha, and you'll have the old floating remote. And you'll be watching your team.
Yes.
You're fine, Deb, because your Jayhawks are okay. But hopefully, if you're a Nebraska fan, you get a run in New York City, get that spa ordered, and it's there for you to watch the first round of the tournament. Done deal, right?
That's right. And then we can, the tubs have LED lighting, and you can put the lights on red. And, I mean, really, just set the mood. So make it happen. We will do our part in that, and we'll get it in your backyard set up. And we'll make it so simple and easy for you.
Deb, folks can come find you. What hours?
We're in Lincoln and Omaha, both. We're Monday through Friday, 10 to 6. And on Saturday, we're there from 10 to 4.
SpasOnline.com in Omaha and 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, right next to the Highway Diner. You know what, Deb? It's so good to talk to you. I can't wait to watch some hoops with you.
I know it. Oh, Chris, I can't wait. I noticed that you had a big birthday, too. We need to celebrate.
Oh, I did. What'd you think of that? I can't say what my wife called me on air, but you can probably imagine.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, I had a birthday, and I need a little spa treatment from Home Innovation. I love to sit on. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go sit in a spa, pick one out, and I'll be a happy guy. There we go.
I know you will. You'll be so relaxed and stress-free. You will be a different person.
That's right. We all need that. Deb, you take care. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There she is. Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. In Lincoln, spasonline.com, also in Omaha. Go see Deb. Get yourself a spa. The right side of the bubble. That's the only guarantee I can give you to be on the right side of the bubble. Deb will help that out. People just, Colton, don't want to hear that you're not in.
Yeah.
And they, if they saw Lenardi, they'd punch him twice in the face. And I'm being very realistic. Is Nebraska good enough to hang with a Pac-12 team? Yes. Is Nebraska good enough to be there in it against a quality Big 12 team? Yes, they've shown that. Mm-hmm. Can Nebraska hang in the SEC? Nebraska's good enough right now to be where they need to be in the tournament.
Right.
They've just screwed up last weekend. And it's way worse to screw up late than early.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of shown with
Dean Hart, man. Tom and Hayton,
right?
Tom's just kind of laying like, look, the committee, they may have, you know, Bruce Rasmussen there saying, well, Nebraska's done all these things. Well, a week ago we're talking about, listen, if things hold up, they look and it sounds great,
right?
Okay, well, things didn't hold up. You lost to Illinois,
right? Like, I think you were on the right path. If they win out and then get the quarterfinal win, I think it's a lock.
But I mean, they need three more.
Yeah. Two.
They need three more.
Two is where you teeter. Three, I think, is where it locks it.
Okay. And you know what? If they win two, and then you got 15 days
of
going and getting Joe Boo and Serrano the live chicken.
Right.
To make sure it happens. Because you're waiting. This state's waiting till March 11th for Selection Sunday. Unless someone does everyone a solid and breaks that bad boy out at 11:30 and leaks it again.
And some of the things that, like, Joe Lenardi does in his bracketology confuses
and
me.
And Lenardi's sick of hearing from Nebraska fans, too.
Yeah.
Questioning his math wizardry.
Well, the one that confuses me the most is Oklahoma. They finally dropped him to a 10 seed, which is, if they get in, is where they need to be, is like a 10 or 11, because Oklahoma has gone downhill.
Can you imagine
so
being a 6 seed, taking on a team that was once the number 4 team in the country? That's rock and water. I don't think they'll leave Oklahoma out.
No.
In fact, if Nebraska gets hosed or nudged out, it might be Oklahoma who does it. You want to talk about that you know, bid stealing? We got somebody that's hell-bent on trying to win Steve Miller Band tickets here in Frampton seats. Either that or somebody that's going to run over their phone when they try and make this phone call. Can dial us up. We can talk tournament 466-377-6800-825-5865. Here's what's funny. Colton is either getting butt-dialed by a listener here, or The ice is affected. Is it even ice out right now? Is this happening? Outdoors? I don't know. Colton's going to rip whoever this is a new one. Try it again, Colton. Should we just let him on air? Have fun with it? I mean, you're going to get carpal tunnel trying to pivot. Okay.
I'm just getting static, so I don't know.
Well, they're at it again. That's fine. If you're driving right now, please be careful. If you're texting and driving right now, pull over, hand your keys over to somebody else. Texting and driving, listen, there's stupid things to be doing, but it's a very short list. The behavior, always dangerous for every driver, all the time, no matter how safely you think you can do it. Sending or receiving a text takes the driver's eyes off the road an average of 5 seconds. It's like driving blind for 55 miles per hour, the length of a football field. Texting increases your crash risk by 23 times. Texting and driving in Nebraska, say it with me, is illegal. Fines between $100 and $300. No text message more important than your life, the lives of your passengers, and the others on the roadway. This message from your friends at the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Couple more thoughts from Ryan Held. A good one today with Tom Deanhart, Brandon Vogel, and Oregon State coach Pat Casey. We'll wind down a Thursday with Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, and Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Fun one today. Thanks for the calls and interaction with Nebraska basketball, what they got to do. Thanks to Pat Casey, head coach Oregon State. Tom Deanhart, phenomenal. And good to get caught up with him. Brandon Vogel, tremendous. If you missed the show, the podcast available for you. Colton will get that turned and burned for you here shortly. HailVarsity.com, iTunes, select portions tomorrow morning on ESPNLincoln.com. Mentioned that got caught up with Coach Ryan Held, and he had some really great things to say. They did a Lincoln Football Coaches Association clinic last night. Ton of coaches from around the area there. These coaches love it. That's Coach Becton. That's Coach Held. That's Coach Greg Austin, that love spending time with coaches. Here's what I asked him about the transition. They've done it once. Okay. They came into Central Florida, took that thing over, flipped it. Awesome. Great. And they made it look really easy. And it wasn't. But now you're able to kind of take what you did the first time and you're transitioning to the program, the size and magnitude in Nebraska. How do you connect with a new group of kids?
When you take over a program and you're turning it around, it starts with the building the relationship and letting the players know that we're here for them. You know, we want to have a great team together in terms of teamwork, working together on a day-to-day basis, and that it's not just all about football. It's about that we're here to make sure they're taking care of business on and off the field. And then it's a matter of changing the culture of making football fun. If you watch this at UCF, we made football fun. Our guys had fun, and that's what we want to do here at Nebraska. We want them to love to come to work. We want them to have cleats in their car and go out, and if they're at a park, if they want to go out and get better for 5 minutes, they do it. That's the culture we want. Guys coming to the building, trying to get better, doing extra work, increasing their standard to where everybody has, it's a positive experience for everybody, and that everybody's trying to get better every day.
Coach Ryan Held, and you can hear the passion in his voice with what they want it to be. And they want it to be fun. They want guys to want to come to work. And a thought here on morning practices, and Frost's reasoning as he spoke to Tom Chattel was guys can kind of say screw it and skip class. You're not going to sleep in and miss practice. It'll help you recover better. But it kind of comes back down to that dedication. Are you dedicated to football, being better, being there for your teammate? Let's get you a pair of tickets the Steve Miller Band and Frampton. That is going to be August 2nd. Frampton, Steve Miller Band. And we don't have the tickets on hand for you, but we'll have them for you by the time the show gets here. But win them now with Hail Varsity and ESPN. 800-825-5865-466-3776-800-825-5865. Caller 8 gets a pair of tickets to Steve Miller Band and Frampton. So be advised of that. Colton, what do you got going? Oh, that's right. You're doing Husker Women tonight. Nebraska, Penn State, Colton, 90.3 FM. Shameless plug to the university because Colton's money. That's what you got. Colton will get caller 8 handled. Motzi's got basketball coming up. Is that right in Lincoln? I think so. Okay. So caller 8, hang in there. And Colton will get to that. We'll be with you tomorrow. Husker standout Bo Reed will be with us. Take care.